This is HPR episode 2905 entitled, Two HPR Hosts Living in the Same Region Finally Meet Up. It is the 110th anniversary show of Dave Morris, and is about 19 minutes long, and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, Dave Morris and Mr. X meet up, and record a conversation.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello everybody, this is Dave Morris for Hacker Public Radio, and today we're doing a recording out in the open air in what we thought might be a fairly quiet place, but I think it's going to be fairly noisy. So if there's a lot of background noise, excuse us, and just put up with it, and we'll have a shot at cleaning it up if possible. Anyway, the point of this particular recording is to note the fact that two HPR hosts have finally met in real life, and the two hosts are obviously myself, Dave Morris, and Mr. X. Hi, Mr. X.
Hello, and welcome to Hacker Public Radio. It's Mr. X.
And you haven't got your theme tune with you.
No,
you should have brought a xylophone or something.
Yeah. That was something I did with the Cakewalk Studio way back in the day. With our Creative Labs sound cards. So, it was good.
Yeah,
fun.
Yeah, it's good. I always notice one of your.
I know that. I know the sort of. I think it's slightly frowned upon having a bit of music in your, but since it's just the beginning.
Well,
I
tend to speed my HBO shows up, but it doesn't bother me particularly.
Yeah,
just to say that we're in Edinburgh. We both live in and around Edinburgh.
Yeah.
I won't tell you exactly where we are because you might get the homing missiles coming in our direction. But I don't know how that would work. Yeah. But we thought we'd found a spot that was fairly far away from the noisy world of Edinburgh, and we are quite far away from the centre.
Yes,
but
yes.
We're still fairly close to roads and stuff like that. So hopefully there's not going to be too much background noise.
Yeah. There's not many places where you're actually alone, is it?
No, unless you go up the top of a hill or something.
That's it.
Probably even then you'd find somebody coming past on a motorbike or something. But anyway, we'll give it a shot, because I think it's worth commemorating the fact that we've communicated by email on and off over the years.
Yeah.
But we'd never actually met. So we thought it was about time that we got together and did that thing. So
very good.
So go on.
Well, I was funny. I was just before I came here. I had a wee look back to see. I'm quite bad with dates and whatnot. And I thought, I've been doing HPR for 4 or 5 years or whatever. I wasn't quite sure. But I think it's going to be, come November, December time, I think it's going to be 7 years. So it's quite surprising.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's quite
Yes. It's surprising, isn't it?
So how long have you been?
Well, I started in 2012.
Right.
So about the same.
Really? Right,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
Okay.
I think you might predate me in terms of shows. Yeah,
I didn't realise that.
I.
Wow.
Because I offered my services to Ken around about 2012,
right,
and did my first show then, and then I went to Og Camp in Liverpool,
right,
which I think was in August or something. I can't remember what part of the year. Anyway, and Ken went to that one, and we met there. And I was saying, oh, I'm really enjoying HBR and that community news is great. You should make sure you do it every month.
It
and
is,
he said,
it is.
Right, so you're going to come and join us then, aren't you? Like and I go, ah! All right.
And, you know, the two of you, when they bounce off each other, it's just fantastic. It's really funny. I love to watch
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
It's one of my favourites.
We've become quite good friends as a consequence. Yeah, so, yeah, we're actually meeting up in real life in Ogg Camp in October.
Right.
So, Ken can make it for a change.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Family commitments and stuff. Yeah. So, that's going to be good.
Very good.
Yep. We must record something there if we possibly can. So,
very good.
Yeah.
So what are we going to talk about?
Well, we didn't really come up with much of an agenda.
No, we didn't.
I was listening to your recent shows about how you listen to podcasts and stuff, and you use MOC, M-O-C, or M-O-C-P.
There's a bit of confusion there, I must admit.
It's in the repositories as M-O-C. Yeah. I went looking on my machine, which is it's not old, it's just I've transferred the home directories off previous machines,
and
I found I'd used some, but I haven't anymore.
Right.
And I wondered, do you not walk around your house or move around a lot listening to podcasts? And if so, how do you do it?
Cordless headphones.
Headphones,
yeah. I'm just thinking, I'm not sure which episodes, how many episodes have aired. So the first episode was about MOC, was it? Is that one, the only one that's gone out so far?
Of the latest two.
What was the second one? The second
you,
one
you,
not,
did,
not,
you did two
yeah,
on...
Yeah, so does the second one not mention the Cordless headphones?
I've not heard the second one yet. Not heard it.
Oh, I better not spoil it like that.
No,
course,
no.
It's not stuck out, of course.
This is going to go way after.
Way after that. So,
No, I've not heard it yet. I think it's in next week's blog.
So, right.
What's the date today? It's the 24th, isn't it?
4th, yeah. So, I use cordless headphones. It's one of these, wireless cordless headphones. So, it's quite funny because I can sometimes hear, the first thing I could hear was there's a club behind me. And you hear the karaoke singers, which are quite funny, you can imagine. So I don't know if they ever get any of my HPR broadcasts or what, I don't know. So whether they enjoy that, I don't know.
That would be fun, wouldn't it?
Watch this rubbish is going to come out. Now I'm getting, I think it must be one of the kids over the road play games, and you hear them talking to their friends, oh, I'll shoot this one, you get that one. And that's good. So, yeah.
Because
it's not encrypted, it's not Bluetooth or that, it's just open in the air. You know, I can't remember, is it 900, 700 megahertz? I can't remember, somewhere around anyway.
Okay, that's quite good.
Yeah.
I'd never thought to do that. I listen to my podcasts by sticking them on a portable player.
Well, I do both, because at work, at lunchtimes and whatnot, I tend to put my Sansa clip in my back pocket of my earphones in, and that works well. But I can't quite remember how I ended up getting my first set of cordless headphones. I can't really remember.
What, are you using Bluetooth on a Raspberry Pi to play it then?
No, it's just so basically you have the audio socket comes out the side of the Raspberry Pi.
Uh-huh.
That goes into a transmitter which sits next
to
the
Raspberry Pi. Oh, you've got a Bluetooth transmitter?
No, it's not Bluetooth. It's just analog RF signal.
Okay.
So basically you get the transmitter and the headphones together. Uh-huh. An idea is you plug them in and you can walk around the house with them.
Okay, I never thought of that.
Yeah.
I've got a pair of Bluetooth headphones that I occasionally use with my phone, but...
But Bluetooth's got quite a limited range,
that's the problem. I always think of Bluetooth as rubbish.
Mind you, it was funny because I think, you'll find out by listening to the second episode, but I had a right difficulty finding a pair of headphones to replace my first pair that eventually snapped, and... We ended up, at one point, we were in a market, and there was somebody selling these headphones, and I said, they were £15. I think my headphones were still working at that point. So these were £15, and I think they came from Japan, so they were probably actually illegal in this country, being the United Kingdom. But I said, put them on and try to give them a try, you see. So I put them on, and I walked, and it's a big place, and I carried on walking. When are these going to drop out, you know? So they went the whole length of the market, and I don't know how, maybe they'd have gone for miles, I don't know, but I eventually got fed up and walked back. So, these are great, you know. But I've still got working ones. I'm not bothered just now, and I, handed them back. I should have bought them and I didn't.
but these were
digital, these ones.
You could tell
there was no noise.
I hadn't quite appreciated what was available. Yeah. I've seen these little Bluetooth transmitters that you can get where you plug into a non-Bluetooth capable thing. Yeah. And I'd sort of toyed with doing that. But on the whole, my experience with the Bluetooth is horrible.
Yeah.
It's not worth the effort at all.
So the only difficulty you've got once you've got cordless headphones is, and I'll be invariably doing the dishes or whatever, I'm doing things around the house, and something happens and you go, turn it off, you know. So you've got to find somewhere stopping muck, which is my Raspberry Pi upstairs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the episodes that are to follow explain how I control that setup between the Raspberry Pi and my headphones. I've got to stop the damn thing. That's a difficulty. I think I had an old compact laptop which I used to have on in the house, and I would hit the space bar to pause, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I now use a completely different setup. I don't know at what point I'm going to. This might come out before. So maybe I shouldn't say too much.
don't let the cat out of the bag if you can help it.
So.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Because I bought some of these little tiny radio devices that you can run off a Raspberry Pi and stuff. You know, there's some hats and stuff.
I think
there's Adafruit stuff. That does
right.
that. I can't remember
so
the,
what does that
the
do
chip. But they are, well, I think they're meant for Internet of Things devices.
Right.
So you would use, you know, they're not like, what's it called, Zigbee and that sort of stuff, but they're not actually that, but they're using radio frequency stuff.
Right.
I can't remember the details of it now, just off the top
of
my head.
So what are you controlling with it?
Well, you could potentially pick up signals from a device that's data logging
or possibly
streaming. I don't know.
Right.
But, you know, there are devices around where you could possibly make a portable device you can carry in your pocket, which through a radio link could talk to your Raspberry Pi and tell it to stop playing music or something. I don't know.
That's an interesting idea.
I don't know.
That's not the solution I used. It's
no.
But I say you'll find out when you have the episode.
Okay, we should leave this subject alone.
Yeah.
But it's intriguing.
Because I mean, lugging a big compact laptop about the place is a bit difficult.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Well, I mean, I can quite. I mean, I had a triple E PC, and that, which again I'll mention, but that's not the final solution by any means. But that's quite compact. I've still got the wee triple E PC, and I still sometimes use it for that very purpose, to stop and start mock, you know. But the battery life, you unplug it and 10 minutes later, it's flat.
Oh,
you know,
right. It doesn't last. I also have a triple E PC,
which
used to go around to conferences and various things with me. But now it's suffering from the same problems that you're describing.
It's
very, very old.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
It's funny, I've got a Samsung laptop. Well, it used to be Mrs. X's laptop. So she gave me it and said, oh, have this, it's rubbish. It takes so long to switch on, it's just terrible. So I had Windows 7 on the thing, and I think I may have kept Windows 7 and, you know, partitioned it off and whatnot, and I put Libuntu on it, a lightweight sort of Ubuntu. And I don't know how old this laptop is now, it's quite a few years old. And I think I maybe even upgraded Libuntu that was on there as well. And it still boots up really quick, or fairly quick, shuts down nice and quick. The battery life is fantastic. So, I mean, I don't look after it. I don't do anything I should be doing with it. You know, I leave it in charge too long sometimes. I don't let it go completely flat. But considering the age of the thing, I can't believe that the battery life is so good.
Yeah.
Whereas the triple PC is so bad.
Yeah.
But the power switch is... The power switch just failed on this thing, and of course, how did I fix this? Again, another YouTube or Google search, and somebody says, this is how you sort it if your Samsung laptop power switch goes. You get a pair of scissors and you stick it in this hole and you slide it across. That's fine. So that's what I do now. So,
I love those sorts of solutions.
Yeah, but I'm not going to throw that away. It works perfectly, you know.
Yeah. Why would you?
Yeah, exactly.
It's amazing what you can continue to use beyond its official lifetime.
So what happens is there's two pieces of plastic either behind the plastic switch, and it pushes over the real switch inside. Mm-hmm. And over time, when you slide it across, one of these pillars snaps, and there's really nothing you can do with it.
So
that's what pair of scissors does the job, basically.
I often wonder if, because we were talking about 3D printing briefly earlier on.
I
wonder whether getting into that sort of stuff, you could actually make replacement parts. I'm not sufficiently sophisticated with the 3D stuff yet.
Yeah, it might be quite a fiddly design, that small part. Yeah,
I don't know how you would get all the dimensions accurately, but you
probably
could with sit with a pair of fine calipers and stuff, which you can get littles for about £7.
I hadn't considered that at all. So maybe there's not a thing called there's a site. Is it not something like things or thingy or something?
It's Thingiverse. Yes.
So I wonder if I did a Google search or a search in this thing.
You'd be surprised what you can find on Thingiverse. I do that quite a lot. I've been looking for. What was I looking for recently? I was looking for something to... I can't remember what it was now. Well, I've recently set myself up a new desk to work, put my PC on. I've built a fairly large cased machine, and I've got two monitors. And above the top of that, I've put two shelves on the wall, you know, metal shelf bracket-y things. And because the shelf above my monitors is at a nice height, so I don't bang my head on it, and I can put my microphones on it for use with HBR recordings and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I keep on having ideas about how I could put some LED lights underneath it.
Oh, yeah.
And I've got some little LED screen things.
Oh, yeah, they're very
bought.
Common. A lot of people have been using these things.
And it'd be really nice to be able to display the state of things of there's various things around the house, or there's the state of HBR as well, which would be fun. I keep on looking to see if anybody's come up with designs for gadgets that you can use to mount bits of electronics onto surfaces and stuff. So Thingiverse is great. I've not found a huge lot, but there's a hell of a lot of stuff on it.
I must do a search.
Yeah,
you're talking about your monitor, and I got an early flat panel monitor, and I think it was a V7, I think some sort of German design.
Mm-hmm.
It was really good value at the time, and a colleague at work said, "Oh yeah, well you know you can get a mount for these things. You can swivel it out, and I'd really recommend it." So I had a look, and it was very cheap. This mount, and when it arrived, it was very substantial. But that was the thing. So it said, "Why we'll accept a monitor up to a certain size."
Mm-hmm.
I thought, well, why does it matter what size it is? Because it's going to be clear of the desk anyway. So I ordered this thing and I attached it to the desk and I screwed it on and said, yeah, that fits fine. There's no problem with that being there. That's great. It's a little bit bigger than what it says it can fit, but there's nothing wrong with that. And I let my hands go and went, so back down and get, that's why, how could this do it? I'm heavy. But I found if you're really careful and then you just lightly let it go, it'll just hold it.
Yes,
if you don't touch it, it falls again.
I actually installed something like that recently, which it's a thing with like four hinges on it, so you
and
you can pull the monitor to.
Yeah, I think I can do that as well.
Slight bit of swivel on it.
Yeah, sort of similar.
My cat. My daughter's cat actually, but it's become mine. I didn't have my daughter leaving it with me. Keeps thinking that it's a great place to go and rub her head in and stuff. So you're just sitting there looking at the monitor and a cat comes up behind it and moves it. So it has its disadvantages. But it does do a nice job. These are good.
Yeah. So David's bought his, was that an H2 Zoom?
That's a Zoom. Zoom H2N.
A fancy thing. And I've got my, I think about £5 from China. It's got a record, play and stop sort of thing. So it'll be interesting. I'm maybe insert a wee tiny bit of the two, so as a comparison. I'm sure it'll be nowhere near as good as the Zoom. But it'll be interesting to see anyway.
Trouble with these handheld mics is that they are, was it John Culp talking about this recently? Condenser mics.
Right.
Which pick up everything
right
from miles around.
Yeah, well, this is it.
And we're sitting in a garden of a...
There's nobody around at all.
There's nobody here.
Yeah, just
but there's a lot of traffic. Yeah. And we're just next to a junction.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And it seems to be the day of the motorbike as well. There's been a lot of them going past.
Yeah, that's...
You might get the better quality in recording. I don't think so. In terms of what it picks up. And
well,
stuff.
I can send you the file and you can blend it together.
That's going to be fun. All right. So shall we call it a halt then?
We're about 18 and nearly 19 minutes
in.
That's quick, isn't it?
There's tons to say. But we'll stop it there. And we must do this again another time.
So tune in next time for our exciting episode of
Hacker
Public
Radio.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.